Keith. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We read about those who believed. Now we're going to read about those who weren't able to believe, who didn't believe. John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin with verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that is so desperate for truth, and there are those that just cannot hear truth because their father is the father of lies. Father, we want to be truth seekers. So I pray that you would reveal your truth to us each and every day. And now, Father, speak to our hearts and minds as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. There are just some things you cannot make up. This was posted May 31st of this year. An Arizona man has maybe one of the most unique driver's license photos around. Sean Corbett of Chandler says he recently won his fight to wear a pasta strainer on his head in his driver's license picture, claiming religious expression. Now, I'm not making this up. There's just some things you can't make up. Corbett is a pastafarian, a follower of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Google it. It exists, the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. It's branched around the world. This church was created actually in 2005 to fight against a school system that said if we have to teach evolution, then we should be able to teach creationism and intelligent design. And so there were those that said, you know, this idea of a creator is so outrageous and it's just fantasy. We'll just make up our own religion. And if you're going to teach that, then you should teach, we should be able to teach about the flying spaghetti monster, because they're both just as outrageous, so they claim. Those who listen to the father of lies, those who can't know the truth. Winston Churchill once said, "Men stumble over the truth from time to time, but most pick themselves up and hurry off as nothing happened." If there's ever been a time in the history of this world where truth was lost, it is today. Just look around. Watch the news. People cannot hear the truth. They're not able to listen to truth. And many can't even listen to reason. One group says one thing and calls the other liars, and the other group says one thing and calls the other group liars. We have this progressive movement in this nation that really is swallowing up the world, that wants to allow multiple truths, that there is no absolute truth. It's all relative. Whatever's truth to you is not necessarily truth to another person. There aren't any absolute morals, so what is right and wrong for one is not necessarily right and wrong for another. It's all relative. That's the world we live in. In their book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist, authors Norman L. Geisler and Frank Turek. Now the premise of this book, I do not have enough faith to be an atheist. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. The premise is this, that to be an atheist, you have to believe there is no God. You have to believe that all this world and universe, which such order came about by accident, that it's equal to a tornado sweeping through a junkyard and out pops a functioning 747. That to believe that all this came about by accident, random choice, or random explosion is ludicrous. That you'd have to have a lot of faith to believe that all this came about without any design or purpose. And so these guys wrote a book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And they said, truth is not relative, but absolute. If something is true, it is true for all people, at all times, in all places. All truth claims are absolute, narrow, and exclusive. Some other truths about truth that they list are these. Truth is discovered, not invented. Truth is truth. You can't change truth. You can't make up truth. You can't invent it. It's discovered. Truth is transcultural. It's the same for everyone. Truth is truth. Truth is unchanging. Beliefs cannot change a fact. Regardless of what you believe, you can't change what is true. Truth is not affected by the attitude of the one professing it. And all truths are absolute truths. By the very definition of truth, you can't change it. It is what it is. It is truth. Truth is truth. It's always truth. It will ever be truth. Now, not only did Jesus make this claim, but he backed it up when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Is that truth? It's from Jesus. It's from our Creator. Truth is truth. No one comes to the Father but by me. And one of the lies among millions that Satan whispers into the world is that there are many roads that lead to the Creator. There are many roads that lead to heaven. But Jesus, who is the truth, said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So either that's true or it's not. To claim that, yes, that's true, but there are multiple ways is to contradict what Jesus said. The Arizona Department of Transportation has since invalidated Corbett's license with the strainer, perhaps a step towards sanity. But still, the church of the flying spaghetti monster slithers on, marinating in the moral relativism and a New Age worldview that permeates our country. Now, if you are a truth seeker, you've come to the right place. Why? Because we hold these truths in high regard, that this is truth, nothing but the truth. So help us God. Now, there is a whole lot of contradiction out there to this book. There is a whole lot of truth claims in this world that contradict this book. So either this book is truth or it's not. Either God is or He isn't. Jesus is who He claims He is. But I'm here to tell you there's only one God, one Creator, one Savior, one way, one truth, and one life. So as we seek truth today, let's first acknowledge that truth will set you free. John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now many are trapped in the lies of the world, and you might be trapped in the lies of this world. Your family members might be trapped in the lies of this world. Now here's the truth. In the beginning, God. That's truth. Satan, the father of lies, wants to discredit that. And he's done a pretty good job of convincing a lot of people in our country, in this world, that there is no creator. There's no absolute right and wrong. There's no high authority that tells us what's right and wrong, so we can make up our own rules. Not only is God the creator who made all things, he is moral authority. This is truth. We can't change truth. Anything that contradicts his word in which we should abide is false. We all sin. That's truth. We are all sinners. We can't change that on our own. Jesus is the only way. There aren't multiple ways. That would contradict truth. He died to conquer sin and death for you and me. He raised from the dead and he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And those who are in Christ have a home in heaven. That's truth. It's absolute truth. We can't change truth. Now many will say this is just fantasy. To claim that there's a creator, that there's a God, it's fantasy. To claim that there is a God is fairy tale. To say Jesus raised from the dead makes for a great story. Life beyond this world, wishful thinking. Now just because you haven't seen it doesn't change the facts. In the late 1800s, there was this theory that was taught of spontaneous generation. And in the spontaneous generation, they taught that a living organism can just pop up randomly at any moment, at any time. And this living organism is the cause of sickness, or it's the cause of disease. But then along came Louis Pasteur, who said, he promoted this germ theory, that there are these living organisms that float through the sky. And you can breathe them in, or they can land on your skin, and it's going to cause you to be sick. You can become sick by coming in contact with these living organisms floating through the sky, or they can be passed from person to person, these living organisms, and they can come in through your skin, and they can make you sick, or they can destroy entire villages and towns and populations with disease. That's transmitted through these living organisms that fly, and people are laughing. This is fantasy. What are you talking about, these invisible living organisms? What fantasy world are you living in? That's crazy talk. But now we know they're invisible to the naked eye, but through a microscope, we can see the little bacteria that creates sickness, that spreads disease. And the same is true when it comes to truth. There are those that just can't see it. They're not able to see it. Now, the only way to see truth, the only way to know and to hear what Jesus speaks, is to claim God as your Father. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not from my own accord, but he sent me." So if God is your Father, then you love Jesus. You can hear his claims and his teaching. The problem with these religious leaders that he is confronting in John 8, these religious Jewish leaders that couldn't hear him, they couldn't believe him, their problem is the same as many today. The devil is their father. John 8:43, "Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of my father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and a father, the father of lies. Now there is a deceiver, and he twists the truth. And it's out of his own character. He can't help but lie. It's who he is. He's a liar. And he is a murderer from the beginning, which means in the beginning when Adam and Eve were in the garden, it was the deceiver who said, well, nothing's going to happen if you eat of the forbidden fruit. In fact, you'll be like God. It's okay. And the moment they succumbed to the deceiver and they took a bite of the forbidden fruit, death became a part of who they are. And so Satan, the liar, is referred to as a murderer from the beginning, and death has reigned ever since. It is in his plan to destroy life. It is in his plan to destroy you. It is in his plan to destroy marriages and families. It is in his plan to destroy nations. And we're seeing his work day after day in this nation. John 14:30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Luke 4:5-6, and the devil took him up and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give you this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. Now, I can't understand all this or fill in all the gaps. But the world has been given to the devil. He has free reign. The ruler of this world is coming, and he is here. This authority has been delivered to him. His agenda is to end human life through deception. That's his weapon as the father of lies, deception. He will twist the truth. Now factor that into your struggles. With what you're facing right now, factor into your struggles that there is a deceiver and he is working to destroy you. Now here are some of the lies of Satan. Here are six. There are probably literally millions. Acquiring material possessions is the path to happiness. That's one that the devil is roaming about, whispering into the ears. Especially in a society where so many are driven by acquiring wealth, power, and status. The devil wants you to believe that obtaining these things will bring you happiness and completeness. He uses this to take our focus off of God. That I don't need to trust in God. I've got all I need right here. And it's a battle between serving God and money. That's what the Scriptures teach. That's what Jesus teach. He taught that there's this either God is your God or money is your God. You can't serve both God and mammon or money. You can't serve both. And so God knows that the biggest competition for us is our stuff, is our wealth. The biggest competition between God and our relationship with Him is worldly stuff. And so God instituted a system of giving. I want you to give it away. I want you to give me a tithe, the 10%. Bring it to me so that I will see and teach you to let go of the worldly possessions and to trust in me. Another lie, hell doesn't exist. The devil wants you to believe that there's no hell, there's no consequence, not only because it puts us in a mental place where living a life of sin is acceptable, but he also wants us to put us at odds with God. Now, how could a God who loves us so deeply and so much send anyone to a place called hell? A loving God wouldn't send anyone there, and you're right, He wouldn't. He doesn't send anyone there. It's our own brokenness that sends us there, our sin that sends us there. And the father of lies, who roams about this world, wants to take as many there with Him. And God, the Creator, has done whatever it takes to keep us from there. The Creator surrendered all His power and authority to man to suffer on a cross to keep us from there. Another lie is the church is a structure, not a community of believers. The church is just a place where you go and worship once a week. And that's all it is. And that's the lie of Satan. The church is us. You're the church. We are the ecclesia, the called out from the world. And we should have a relationship and a bond with one another that we're together more than just an hour or two a week. We should be in one another's homes during the week. We should be serving one another during the week. We should be helping one another during the week. We are a community of believers that should be loving and supporting and caring for each other. But Satan has convinced us in our nation that a church is just a place where you go for an hour a week and then you don't have to see those people for another week. Not only that, because it's just a building, many have been convinced by the devil that you don't have to be a part of a church to love God. You don't have to be a part of that community of the called out. You just love God where you are and you just be who you are. But Jesus set apart the church. He died for the church. He loves the church. And we should love the church, the community, that it moves us and changes us. Another lie of Satan is there's no life after death. There's no need to concern yourself with a God who doesn't exist or where you will go when you die. Do what you want on this earth because this is all there is. You are defined by your past. And we talked about this during the time of communion. All those mistakes you made, remember? When you blew it as a teenager, your failed marriage, that sexual sin you carry with you from your past, your drunkenness, remember that? Remember the failure when you hurt people with your words, when you let people down? You're worthless. You're a failure. All because of your past mistakes or that one big mistake. And Satan whispers in your ear that that's who you are and that's what defines you. And this is a big lie that Satan is using to destroy our nation. Look at your past. Look at all your mistakes. You are an illegitimate nation. You are no good because of who you have been. And that's a lie from the pits of hell because we are all imperfect. We all make mistakes. We are all sinners. And God says, I want to take every one of them. And I want to bury them in the deepest sea. Let go of the past. And press on to the future. And the last lie I want to highlight is that there is no creator. There's no creator. Gender. Sexual identity. It's whatever you want it to be. It's all a state of mind. You can be whatever you want. There was no designer or creator that made you who you are. Whatever you want to be. Marriage, be free thinking. There's no absolute. The family, you can define the family as you want. All lies from Satan. And the list goes on. And this world is filled with people that will never hear the truth. They can't hear the truth. Because their father is the devil. All these are lies from Satan. That's his modus operandi. He lies, he deceives, and he rules this world. for now. But there's coming a day when God says, enough is enough. And the trumpet's going to sound, and the sky is going to split wide open, and Jesus is going to descend, not humbly as a baby this time. He's going to descend with power and authority. And that will be it. It could be this week. Could be next week. We don't know. The story has been told for years that Satan called together some of his demons and said, this church is pretty powerful. We've got to stop the church. We've got to silence the church. I need some ideas. One said, oh, I know. We'll go whisper in their ears that there's no God. And Satan said, well, that'll work with a lot, but it won't work with the church. They'll never believe that. Another one said, oh, I know what. We'll go whisper in their ears their past and tell them that's who they are and they're a failure and they'll never be anything more than a failure. And there's no hope. No, they won't. Some of them will fall for that, but it won't stop the church. We need something to stop the church in its tracks. And one demon said, oh, I know what. We'll go tell them that there's more time. And Satan said, that's it. We'll tell them there's more time. There's no sense of urgency. There's no sense of urgency to share your faith or to surrender to Christ today. We've got more time. We can put that off till later. That's it. Jesus said, I must fulfill my Father's will. And John said, okay, and he buried him in a watery grave of baptism. John, the sinner, baptized Jesus, the one who was without sin. And Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world, every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and make them disciples of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Which, in that original language, was bury them in water. Raise them into new life. So Peter did that on Acts 2. When the people said, what do? Peter said, repent. Turn away from your old life. Turn to the new life in Christ. Be baptized, buried with Christ. For the forgiveness of your sins, every mistake erased, filled with the Holy Spirit, raised into a new life. And all through the book of Acts, that's what they practiced. The Apostle Paul, Ananias said to him, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You know what Paul did? He went and he was buried in water. And he was raised into new life. And Satan might be whispering into your ear, you've got lots of time. You don't have to make this decision today. Or you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to do that. I know Jesus, but I know what he said, but you don't worry about what Jesus said. You don't have to do that. Heavenly Father, the father of lies is roaming about this world, seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour each one of us. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would surround each one of us with your angel armies that would protect us from the schemes and the lies of Satan himself. And this nation is being ripped apart because of the lies of Satan. And there are those that are children of Satan and they cannot hear the truth. They may never hear the truth. But Father, I pray that we would stand up and be the city on a hill you've called us to be, a light in the world, and we proclaim the truth that you are and that Jesus is and that he raised from the dead. So Father, I pray that you would go before us, that you would work in us and through us, that you would change lives. And Father, if there's one here today that's been being held back by Satan himself, I pray that that hold would be released. That your angels would come and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that grip would be released. And they would let go of the world and be set free indeed. Father, may you work during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a decision to make, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.